Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. Let us just open with a short word of prayer. Spirit of God, fill us today with joy until we overflow. Embolden us to speak your love to all we encounter by whatever means. Grant wisdom to do only that which is to the glory of God. Amen. As we gather in worship, as we listen to God's word today and his message to us, we prepare ourselves by singing together this song, My Jesus, My Savior.
Sound of your name.
We now come to pray together. Let us pray. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains life, for the food of this earth that nurtures life, for the love of family and friends without which there would be no life. We thank you for the mystery of creation, for the beauty that the eye can see, for the joy that the ear may hear, for the unknown that we cannot behold, filling the universe with wonder, for the expanse of space that draws us beyond the definitions of ourselves. We thank you for setting us in communities, for families who nurture our becoming, for friends who love us by choice, for those who celebrate anniversaries and birthdays today, and we especially remember Titus, whose birthday it is today. We welcome all those who we meet, for strangers who welcome us into their midst, for people from other lands who call us to grow in understanding, for children who lighten our moments with delight, for the unborn who offer us hope for the future. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for one more day to love, for opportunity, and one more day to work for justice and peace, for neighbours, and one more person to love, and by whom to be loved, for your grace, and one more experience of your presence, for your promise to be with us, to be our God, and to give salvation. For these and all blessings we give you thanks, eternal loving God, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And now Janet is going to read to us some verses from Exodus.
Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country." So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king.
The people of Israel living in Egypt were living in good times, and then they came into dark times. But if we think about things, happiness can be found even in the darkest of times. We just have to remember to turn on the light. Now, I could ask everybody who is happy to raise their hands. I suspect Titus is happy today because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Titus. But probably we are sort of middling. That's most of our days, isn't it? We're sort of middling. We don't say we're bouncing with happiness. Most of the time, we don't say we're in the depths of despair. But to anybody who's not feeling particularly happy today, just remember that things can get better. But what is it that makes us happy? Sometimes meeting friends, that makes us happy, doesn't it? When we can meet with friends and that. As Joy was saying at the start of our service, coming together and being able to speak to each other like this, that makes us happy in times when we are living in isolation. When I was at school, the last day before school of the summer holidays, that always used to make us happy. School was very happy. It was so happy at our school that they used to turn off the fire hoses and the fire alarms because we were too happy about using them on the last day of school. And Christmas makes us happy, doesn't it? Going on holiday, having a change often makes us happy. They are all things that can make us happy and give us happiness. What about sharing things with a friend who is less than you? You know, when we give somebody a present or a gift, when we give somebody something that they want, that actually makes us happy and hopefully makes them happy, but it actually makes us happy, doesn't it, when we give people other things. When we spend time with somebody who is sick or lonely, that can help make us happy as well as them. Giving our time to help other people. Actually listening to what Jesus tells us to do and commanded us to do. And really listening to the command of Jesus to love one another. Do you understand that actually when Jesus tells us to love one another, he's not necessarily telling us that we have to like one another. We can actually love people that we don't like, can't we? And we should show God's compassion and love to people who we don't like. Jesus loved everybody he met and he showed God's love to everybody. But did he really like everybody he met? It's a thought for us to think about and maybe talk about another time. But if we really want to live the happy life that God has planned for us, we must do the things that God has asked us to do. And I started this little bit by saying that we remember we have to turn on the light if we want to be happy. And turning on the light is actually turning on God's love and expressing God's love to one another. That's how we turn the light on, by loving one another. We're now going to sing, and this is a song that Stephanie thought Daniel would particularly like. He's got the whole world in his hand.
The whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands, he's got you and me, brother, in his hands, he's got you and me, brother, in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Sister, in his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the itty bitty baby. In his hands, he's got the itty bitty baby. In his hands, he's got the itty bitty baby. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
So I hope you enjoyed that song. We're now going to hear Lois read to us from Romans chapter 12, the first 8 verses. Lois.
Thank you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Thank you, Lois. There's some deep thoughts in that passage from Romans. The problem that we sometimes have with Romans 8, and the idea is that God is for us, is that we're so familiar with our failures that we sometimes think, and our heart thinks, that God is for other people. You know, I'm not good enough. There are so many things I've done wrong in my life, so many poor choices I made. I can't really believe that God would be for me, because I know about myself and God knows all about me. Well, take heart. The man who wrote the words of Romans 8, Paul, also wrote the words of Romans 7. And just think what was in Paul's past. He had persecuted the first generation of believers. He had watched Stephen's execution in the shadow of where the cross once stood. He had persecuted the early church. It wasn't until he was on the road to Damascus and he saw the light, literally in Paul's case, saw the light, that he changed. He became a great church planter. Indeed, he changed his name from Saul to Paul in recognition that he had really changed. He was a writer of letters that form quite a lot of the New Testament. He battled the sinful urges of his own heart. If Paul, with all that in his background, could actually find that God could bridge that gap that sin brings between us, the death and judgment that brings between us to God, then can't we also? The passages that we read remind us that it's the grace of God that bridges that gap. It's not anything that we do. There's a man there taking an exam. I was talking earlier about happiness. I would be very surprised if I said who finds taking exams makes them happy, if anybody actually put their hand up. I don't think anybody really enjoys taking exams. There was a theological course at a college being taught by the teacher there about the grace of God. It was quite a complicated module. And at the end of the module, the teacher distributed the exam for it. He cautioned the class to read it all the way through before beginning to answer it. Do you remember your teachers telling you to do that, to read the whole exam question before you started trying to answer it? And that's what he did. And the caution was also written on the exam as well. As the students read the exam paper, it became unquestionably clear to each of them that they had not studied nearly enough in order to be able to pass the exam with glowing colours. The further they read, the worse it became. About halfway through, audible groans could be heard through the lecture hall as they were reading the exam. I think all of us have probably had that experience, haven't we, of reading the exam paper and discovering none of the questions we hoped were going to be on it are actually on this paper. On the last page, however, was a note that read, "You have a choice. You can either complete the exam as written, or else you can sign the name at the bottom and in so doing receive an A for this assignment." Subsequently, the teacher shared some of the reactions he had received. Some students had begun to take the exam without reading it all. They sweated it out for the entire 2 hours of the class time before reaching the last page. Others read the first couple of pages, became angry, and turned the test in blank, stormed out of the room, muttering that it wasn't fair. They hadn't been taught what was being asked. They never realised what was available because they never read the last page of the exam. And as a result, they lost out totally. One fellow, however, he had real integrity. He read the entire test, including the note at the end, but decided to take the exam anyway. He did not want any gifts. He wanted to earn his grade. And he did. He made a C+. But he could easily have had an A. What's the point of this story? Why have I told you this story this morning? Well, it relates to Romans 8 and how we pass the test that is set out in Romans 8. For it's by the grace of God that we have been saved. Romans 8 is the last line on the test of life. All who read the words here and believe them pass God's test with flying colours. They get an A, so to speak. Others, however, sometimes hear about God's holiness and give up ever trying to make the grade. Some spend an entire lifetime angry at the God who desires to give them grace. And a lot of people, of course, depend on morality and good deeds to get them into heaven, and they do their best to work their way into God's approval. Unfortunately, on God's test of life, nothing less than a perfect score will do. And only by the grace of God can any of us achieve that perfect score. Like that teacher in that exam, God makes an offer that seems to be too good to be true. You know, there's that adage, isn't there, that if it sounds too good to be true, then it is. But God's grace, even if it sounds too good to be true, you know that other adage, it's the exception that proves the rule. God's grace isn't too good to be true because it is true. The truth is, it's the only question that ultimately matters. The question, will you accept the grace of God or will you reject it? Let us pray. Help me, O God, because like all the children of men, I need your daily grace. Yesterday's blessings can encourage, but will not take care of the burdens of today. May I know thee as the shepherd of my life and eternal soul. May my fears be dissolved by faith in thee and through the power of thy love. Help me to love and manifest the spirit of love under all circumstances to all people. May my life be a glory to thyself, a help to my fellow man, and rewarding to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now sing Only by Grace.
Yes.
Now come to our prayers of intercession. Slightly different this week because I have chosen a video prayer that has been prepared by the BMS. It's focused on a hospital in Chad, but the thoughts are appropriate to many more situations, including our own. So let us hear the words of this prayer.
A prayer of dedication for Guinabor II Hospital, based on 1 Kings 8. Father God, there is no one like you in heaven or on earth. You keep your covenant with your people and show them your love.
The heavens cannot contain you, much less those places created by humankind, and yet your spirit dwells in this place. Please listen to the prayers of your servants and our pleas for mercy, Lord our God. May your eyes be open towards this place night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there. Hear us when we pray for this place and for all the people in it.
Hear us, O Lord, when we pray for this place. For those who are sick and suffering, please have mercy on them. May your healing spirit flow through this hospital, healing those touched by disease, affected by life-changing accidents, or caught in conflicts. Hear our prayer from heaven, your dwelling place.
Hear us, O Lord, when we pray for this place, for those who have travelled across borders to receive the care they desperately need. May your presence ground those whose lives have been uprooted, and may you make yourself known to those who don't yet know you. Hear our prayer from heaven, your dwelling place.
Hear us, O Lord, when we pray for this place, for those who have dedicated their lives to serving in this hospital. Give strength to the doctors, nurses, midwives, porters, and all the other crucial workers who are saving lives every day. May everything they do be done in your name and in a way that glorifies you. Hear our prayer from heaven, your dwelling place.
Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest and healing to his people. May the Lord our God be with us always. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience with him. And may these words, which we have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold all those who work and stay at this hospital according to each day's need. Let all those in this place know that the Lord is God and that he dwells among them.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're now going to sing the song My eyes have seen the glory.
The Jubilee service at St Paul's Cathedral must have been particularly important to Her Majesty the Queen as she remembered her promises and trust in God. But one of the hymns sung during that service, we're going to sing now.
Let us unmute as we pray. Going forth in the knowledge that peace on earth can be realised only when we begin living for the kind of world that ought to be. Let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all, now and forever. Amen. So, happy birthday, Titus. I think we should sing to him, don't you? So whatever it might sound like together, let us all sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Service next Sunday. Virtual service on Zoom again, and Martin Turnbull is going to be bringing us the message. Next Saturday morning, the church will be open for private prayer again between 10 a.m. and noon. And we will be having our normal prayers on Zoom at 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Are there any other notices that people wish to bring this morning?
Adrian?
Yes.
It's Bronwyn's birthday today as well. She shares your birthday, Titus. But Bronwyn's still in hospital, but her family, the nurses have arranged for her family to see her in the garden later. So we remember Bronwyn and wish her hopefully to get better soon and have a good day.
Let's have a very brief special prayer for Bronwyn then. Dear Lord, we remember Bronwyn and all the travails that she is going through. We remember her in hospital today on her birthday. We uplift her to you, and we ask that you will be with her and her family, surrounding them and enfolding them all in your love on this day. We ask it in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
If there is nothing else, then we can just have our usual chat at the end of our service.